'Tis the season for asking people for money. No, it's not Christmas. It's pledge time. Something you probably already know if you're a regular PBS viewer, like most of us listening and talking on this show are. And we really do try not to do this too often. But the fact is that everything we do here at Televisions is only possible because of our loyal listeners and readers. So we're back to ask some more. If you like what we do, help us keep the lights on by making a donation today at televisions.org/support. We'd like to think we're a good resource for you and for everybody who loves British television and culture, both on PBS and everywhere else. And we work really hard to find the information you need to make the best choices about what you're going to watch. So help support our weekly episodes here at the pod, our daily posting habits over at the site, and whatever other crazy stuff we come up with in the months ahead by hitting that donate button today. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Televisions, the podcast, an audio companion to the Televisions website and a show made by Anglophiles for Anglophiles. I am Lacey Barger-Miles, and I'm the editor here at Televisions. And joining me, as per usual, is my co-host, Miss Annie Bundle.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am so tired. I had like a lot of really delicious pasta for lunch, which was great in that it was delicious. But also now I'm like, I just want to take a nap.
Yeah.
So sorry if I'm low energy today, guys.
It's okay. Unlike my mother, who I put down for naps basically every afternoon now, I'm not putting you down for a nap. Instead, I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you get all of your energy right back up again. Do you know what that is?
No.
The Duke's not coming back on Miss Scarlet and the Duke.
We weren't going to talk. Like, I don't know. We talked about whether or not we should do like a whole separate episode about this because, surprise, technically this is supposed to be our annual spring preview episode. But we are also recording it mere hours after the Miss Scarlet and the Duke renewal came down for a fifth season. But it's also not Miss Scarlet and the Duke anymore. Stuart Martin is leaving the show. It's going to be renamed Miss Scarlet. And I need people to understand that sometimes you can just let things end.
Oh, I'm sorry, babe. I know it hurts.
Well, I just like, what the heck?
I know.
Like the audacity of like, you, like, I don't, none of us tuned into the show because of like crime solving adventures. The premise of the show was what was in the title.
Well, some of us did. Some of us did, I would like to point out.
Well, I mean, the premise of the show is what was in the title.
Mm.
Like, and I don't know. I feel very bait and switched, and I feel a little like this is kind of a weird zombie version of it now. Like, that just has the same name and characters, and like the premise of the show was the two of them in whatever form you wanted to have that take. I don't know. This is just a whole mess. And yeah. I don't understand, like, so many season four decisions coming into this at all.
I will agree with you on that. This does feel very sort of whoa and seriously, and are you kidding? And I am a little, I know there's a lot of people.
I've seen a lot of people compare it to Theo James leaving Sanditon, but I think it's actually even worse than Theo James leaving Sanditon. Theo James's character's name wasn't in the title, and yes, they gave Theo James's character a truly horrific ending in the show, but at least he got an ending in the show.
Yeah, whereas like,
was just like, oh, we're gonna give you the progress we've promised for 4 years now. Sorry, you'll never see him again, I guess.
I don't know, man. I am thoroughly amused, and
I am livid.
I know, and that part I feel really bad because there's a lot of people out there who are very livid right now, and I don't blame you for being angry. And you know, I know that there's a lot of people for whom this is not fair, but you know, there's a lot of people who didn't like that romance.
Well, I mean, and that's fine, but romance aside. Again, coming back to the fact that the name of the show was Miss Scarlet and the Duke, and whether or not the slow burn thing ever paid off, that does, to me, as it is the title, imply that the show is about the two of them and it their is. Relationship and however that relationship manifests itself. Are they friends? Are they colleagues? Are they something else? I don't know. But by pretending that you can erase that by literally changing the show's name is just wild to me.
I have to say that does crack me up a lot. Like that part actually.
And
I
like
think-
you can feel free to not like the romance. You can feel free to be an anti-shipper or whatever. That's totally fine. I support that ship or don't ship, whatever you want. But like, let's not pretend that the reason for the show's existence was not that relationship.
Yeah, I will absolutely agree with that. And I have to admit that I don't know. There's something about the whole thing that just like I just threw back my head and laughed. I have to admit that that was basically my reaction to this, to what
I said a cuss word.
I just threw back my head and laughed
because it's so rude. It's so rude. Like, I like Rachel New a lot. I think she's a very talented writer, but like, what were you doing last season if you knew this was even like a possibility? What was any of that?
Honestly, I think that actually that to me is actually the real answer here is I don't think that they thought that this was a possibility. I think this is something that they sort of accidentally fell backwards into, that they sort of wrote themselves into a corner. They found themselves here and now here they are. And this was the only thing that they could do. I genuinely actually think that that's what happened.
I don't know. I can come up with like five other things they could have done besides him finally telling her he loved her, but just then to peace out and like never be seen again.
I don't know.
And I do know a lot of people online are holding on to a lot of hope that he's somehow going to come back in season six or something. And I want to believe with you guys, I truly do, but
nope,
they are changing the name of the show. They are changing the name of the show. This is real. And I hate it.
If they weren't changing the name of the show, I would be much more inclined to believe.
Do you know what? I actually, like, truly would not mind if, this is a lot of ifs, I truly would not mind if they were doing, like, a Callum Woodhouse from All Creatures season 4 thing where he just takes a year off to go do whatever while Eliza works on her Like, and that's the season 5 story is Eliza handling herself and figuring out what she wants, and we get that interiority and introspection we've been lacking, and then he comes back in season 6. Like, that would have been fine. I actually probably would have really liked that, but I don't know. I feel like, again, what was I watching?
Again, changing the title.
I know that. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm saying I would have actually been behind that as a choice.
Yes, okay.
I just think this is like, what did I watch for 4 years for?
I don't know, babe. I'm sorry. Do you feel a little better getting that out of your system?
Not really. I've already been tweeting.
Okay. All right. Well, now that we have run through that.
Y'all may be getting a new Miss Scarlet recapper in season 5. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'll have to go back to recapping like I did that very first season because you were like, I don't do mysteries. And then you fell in love with the show. Let's talk about the spring, because that's what this is supposed to be, is our spring preview. You know, we're putting Miss Scarlet on the shelf until next year. All Creatures Great and Small are going to go. It's going to go film while the animals are breeding and the sheep are cute and the lambs are cute and the calves are and the calves are small. Funny Woman is, I don't know if we're going to get Funny Woman back or if we're going to get Vienna Blood next winter or what, but you know what? It's time for babies, because if it's spring, it's time for Call the Midwife.
Season like 13 or something.
Call the Midwife!
I don't actually think I watched the Christmas special, so I don't know where we left everything.
It's time you had the talk. Sorry. I'll stop singing because it's probably painful for all involved. It is 1969. That is what happened in the Christmas special, is that it became 1969 and Trixie Franklin is now married.
Did her husband kick it? I heard all these rumors that he was leaving the show.
Well, that's a spoiler for season 13, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's a spoiler for season
13. I haven't watched the show since the last time we talked about it.
There are rumors that her marriage is not going to last through season 13, and that there will be issues this season.
Oh, I just assumed they were going to kill him off. I was like, that's the most like direct line.
We don't
I have no knowledge of this for anyone who is listening. As I just said, I have not watched the show since the last time we talked about the show. So I don't know. I'm making it up.
Let us remember that, as Janet says, when we talk about the British, well, when we talk about British shows, it is all about class, 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 and more class. You know, Trixie married Matthew, and as much as Matthew is a very nice man, he is a different class than she is. Her world is midwives. Her world is poplar. Her world is poverty. Her world has always been working class. And though she is trying very hard to basically fit in with his middle, upper middle, you know, high class friends and be that middle class housewife that he wants, you know, her heart's not there. Her heart's with Poplar. Her heart is with, you know, her heart is with Nonata's house. And I feel like this is the, you know, this, I feel like that is part of why we have all these rumors that their marriage isn't going to last, is that they are basically going to run into these class issues this season now that they are married. And, you know, the honeymoon's happened and they're back and her brother's around in Christmas time. And it's all just going to be a little too much family, I think. So, you know, we have that. We have season 13. What we do know about season 13 for sure is that, you know, it being, you know, 1969, we're going to have home births are going to make a dramatic return after all these hospital, you know, after everybody'd gone to the hospital for, you know, several years. You know, there's still housing challenges. This is a point where this is a pretty hard point in the UK where there's, you know, labor basically starts to take over, but that's because things are going really badly. Of course, then we put a man on the moon this season. You know, Summer of Love, Beale's breakup. I don't know what else happens in 1969. You know, all the usual typical stuff that you talk about in 1969. I mean, all the usual people are back. Judy Parfitt's still back. Jenny Agutter's going to be back. Laura Maine, Stephen McGann. All our favorites are going to be back. We are going to get two new people, I believe. We get two new trainees this year. We've seen pictures of them. It's going to be midwives Joyce Highland and Rosalind Clifford. I guess they're trainees this year. And of course, you know, the show's been renewed for season 14 already. So we know we're going into the 70s.
I think it's actually been renewed past season 14.
It's been renewed through season 15, I believe, if I remember correctly. So, you know, this show is going nowhere, you guys. I mean, honestly, I think this show is going to run straight up until the gold basically rebuilds the docks. You know, like I got nothing. But you know, we love Call the Midwife. Everybody loves a good cry. And for those who have PBS passports, it's already there for an early release for members. And for those who don't have PBS passport, it's starting in March 17th. So, you know, watch with us. We'll be recapping. We have a new recapper this year. Her name's Megan. And I hope that you guys, enjoy her recaps and watching along with her. That's, of course, you know, our usual standard. Meanwhile, Masterpiece actually has bringing a ton of new shows. We only have one returning show for Masterpiece this spring. Everything else is a brand new title. And most of them are short. Startlingly short, actually. We have the first one that's going to debut alongside Call the Midwife is called Nolly. And this is kind of an odd one. It's only three episodes. It's going to start March 17th along with Call the Midwife. And it's basically going to run the three Sundays in March and then be done. And it stars Helena Bonham Carter as the titular Nolly. Now, this is actually a story that I didn't know anything about until I basically watched the screeners. But it's by Russell T. Davies, who is the man behind Doctor Who. So I'm hoping that Lacey will like it. Did you watch screeners? I don't know if you've watched the screenshot.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I have a lot of complicated feelings about Helena Bonham Carter that have nothing to do with this show, but they are there.
Okay. So the thing about Nolly is that Nolly is the nickname of Noelle Gordon. She was extraordinarily famous as a soap opera actress in the UK in the 60s and 70s. She played Meg Richardson in the popular soap Crossroads. And then, like, in 1981, just as the show was literally at its height, she was fired, like, unceremoniously, like, just... Like, she just showed up one day and was fired. And she had no idea what was going to happen to her character. She had no idea what was going to happen to her career. And she basically, like, her entire life just, like, went poof. You know, so basically, like, I don't know. I felt, watching it, I felt very, I don't know. I felt, actually, it was a lot more, it was very topical in a way that I wasn't expecting. Especially being in journalism where, you know, jobs just disappear by the hundreds sometimes in a day and people's entire livelihoods just disappear. Except that for this woman, it was, you know, her firing's front page news. Like, it was so huge. And it's her basically and her gay best friend, who's played by Mark Gatiss, trying to figure out, like, what she's going to do with herself now. That her whole life blows up and she doesn't know what to do with herself. And it's the two of them sort of working it out. Like, what does she do now that her whole life has basically just gone poof? I don't know. I liked it a lot. And I'm hoping that other people do, too.
I haven't watched it, which is should be of no surprise to anyone.
That's true.
I have to say... at first glance from the trailers and synopsis and stuff, this is not incredibly appealing to me. I hope it turns out to be better than I think it will, a la Funny Girl or something, but mostly I'm just like, I don't know. It just does not speak to me as something that, were I not going to have to watch it for work, that I would watch.
Sophie is going to be back to recap this one. It's, you know, as... You know, as a star who came of age in the 60s and, you know, is being fired in the 1980s, you can imagine this is a costume fest of 60s, 70s and 80s costumes. And she's, of course, going to love all that. So we'll have a lot of fun with the recaps for that one, the same way we did with Funny Girl. And I hope you guys watch along with and read along with for her stuff. And then the third show that will debut in March for PBS or for Masterpiece, which is in the 10 p.m. slot, is an odd one for Masterpiece. This didn't feel like a Masterpiece show when I started watching it. Now, I admit I haven't watched the whole thing. I only watched the first couple episodes. It's called Alice and Jack, and it debuted at the Toronto International Film Festival, which is where Masterpiece picked it up. And it's a love story. Now, the two lead actors are pretty famous. It's Andrea Riseborough, whose name you probably heard in conjunction with the Oscars last year, and Domhnall Gleeson, who you probably will recognize as one of the Weasleys from Harry Potter.
I'm pretty sure he's also Brendan Gleeson's kid.
He was in the Star Wars. He was the redhead. He was not the Darth whatever his name is in Star Wars. He was the general.
She's looking at me as though I'm going to be able to provide this information. And trust me, listeners, I am not.
Okay, but he's been in a bunch of blockbusters, is my point. You'll recognize him, is my point, if you watch any blockbusters. Anyway, it's basically like a love story that, like, happens over the course of 15 years where they
unfortunate that the show is coming out in a relatively similar time frame to Netflix's One Day. Which is a different show, a totally different, like, setup of the story, but the vibes are very similar.
Yeah.
And I just think it's going to get lost in the shuffle of all of that. I have not watched this either. I did make it partway through the first episode, but that's as far as I have gotten. It is prestige-y.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's masterpiece-y.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
It's an odd one for Masterpiece.
There's some interesting choices this spring that I don't necessarily... I don't like all of them. I don't like all of these choices. But they are what they are.
I have a lot of people vying to recap this one, and I haven't.
I know. I was supposed to do it, and I was like, do I have to? Because I don't know. I'd like it. There's just not a lot in this spring season is really vibing with me, and I was like, But then we opened it up to like all of our writers, and like four people volunteered. So maybe I am just a jerk who hates love, because like this show, the premise of this show kind of doesn't do a lot for me, mostly because like Netflix literally just released kind of a show that's the same thing.
So I haven't actually picked a recapper yet because my life blew up, guys. Sorry. But we will have, I will have one, by the time we get there.
It will not be me.
I will have one by the time we get there, I promise. And I'm sure that they will love the show and that it will be a lot of fun. And it will be a different, it will definitely be a different voice than usual. So that will also be fun and games. So that's Alice and Jack is going to run 6 episodes, and that's basically going to run like through April. But as Nolly is only 3 episodes, and you know, Call a Midwife is 8, and you know, Alice and Jack is 3, that leaves like this big space at 9 o'clock at once Nolly ends. And in between, when April starts, we're going to get Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. Now, that may sound like a show that you're like, wait, what? That sounds boring. And I don't blame you, because you know what? When I told my friends at Pilates that Mr. Bates versus the Post Office was coming, they were looking at me like, what the heck is that? That sounds like a boring documentary. Why are you all excited about this? And then I said, it's that one about the people who got cheated by the Post Office that's all big in the UK, and the Prime Minister had to come out. And they all suddenly realized what I was talking about, and they all got excited. Now, honestly, this actually wasn't supposed to be the show that debuted in April. It was actually supposed to be a different show called Maryland. And PBS literally reconfigured their schedule in order to put Mr. Bates here because they wanted to have it right away. Okay? Like, PBS never does this. Like, Masterpiece never shoves the schedule around after it's set. So this is a big deal. And that's because Mr. Bates versus the Post Office was literally the biggest show on ITV since Downton Abbey when it aired. And that's huge.
Yeah, it was a huge hit.
Huge hit. And this is based on a real-life story. And it has a murderer's row of cast, okay? It's Toby Jones, Leah Williams, Alex Jennings, Sean Dooley, Claire Calbraith, Leslie Nichols, Amit Shah. You'll know every single person. It's written by Gwyneth Hughes, who wrote Tom Jones. And basically, it is based on the real-life story of the sub-postmasters, who were working at the post office starting in 1999. In 1999, basically, the British Post Office switched to digital, just like everybody else did, right? Like, that's what we did in 1999. We all switched to computers. Except the British government, when they hired in this company, it was a faulty computer system that basically started, like, counting the money wrong. And all the sub-postmasters said, hey, this is not calculating it right. It's miscalculating. And they said, oh, well, no, that can't possibly be. We're paying all this money for it. It can't possibly be wrong. You must be stealing the money. And so they began charging all these sub-postmasters, hundreds and hundreds of them, with mail fraud and stealing money from the government, felonies, throwing them in jail and forcing them to repay money they never took in the first place for 15 years. And it took until 2015 when Alan Bates finally got together with his fellow sub-postmasters and sued the government to basically prove that they were innocent. And in 2019, they were proven, in fact, that they were innocent. But they still haven't gotten any kind of reparations. Those felonies are still on their record. They still are unemployable. And it took this television show airing in the UK for any kind of action to be taken by the government. And that's horrifying. Okay? So this 4-episode show basically dramatizes that with Toby Jones playing Mr. Bates. By the way, the real Alan Bates like has a cameo in the show somewhere. I'm not actually sure where. Aww. I have not actually gotten around to watching the screeners. I just know all about this show because I'm really excited for it. I have been excited for this show since I first saw it. I have been like, this is a PBS show since the first time I saw like the cast. So I'm really excited for this show coming here. And we are definitely recapping this. We are definitely doing a podcast on this. I am all over this show, and I hope you, the rest of you, are too. It is basically 4 episodes, and it's basically going to run from the beginning of April to the end of April. It's basically the 4 Sundays in April. That's this show. And then when that's done, that ends basically around the same time as Alice and Jack. And we will get Maryland at that point, which is Saran Jones and Guilt Season 3.
As you can see, the spring schedule is not for me. Except for, I am actually excited about Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, because it sounds really like nerdy and weird, but also everybody I know in the UK loved it. So that one I'm excited about. The rest, I guess, will go in my eyeballs.
I mean, honestly, Maryland is 3 episodes the same way Nolly was. It's Saran Jones's first foray into writing her own thing. It's her and Eve Best.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be so dismissive of Marilyn, because I actually know very little about what it's about. I'm just extremely annoyed at the typeface in which they title the show. It's not Maryland like the state. It's Maryland, one word, and there's like a capital L in the middle.
Yeah.
It drives me, as a person who is mildly obsessive compulsive, up the wall.
Well, it's because, okay, so Saran Jones and Eve Best are sisters, and their mother dies, and they basically discover they didn't really know her very well. And so basically in discovering who she was, they go to Maryland, because their mother's name was Mary, is sort of, I think, the premise and why the title is the way it is. I don't know. I'm kind of curious.
This drives me, like, I can't. There's like some show premiering on CBS this spring, and it's called like Elsbeth. And that also makes me crazy, because her name should be Elsbeth, not Elsbeth. I hate it. Mm-hmm. It makes me nuts.
Yeah. I get it. And also, like, I don't know, they're being very cagey about the actual plot for this one. Like, that's literally all we know about it. And I feel like that's because they don't want to, like, give away some big twist in it. And I find that also really frustrating, because I don't really have anything else to tell you guys about it. As for Guilt Season 3, I mean, if y'all loved Guilt Season 1 and 2, sure. Guilt Season 3, Jamie Civies, Mark Bonner, doing their thing, being Scottish.
Good for them.
The only real, like, big news about Guilt Season 3 is that Guilt...
Is that it's over after this?
A, that, and B, for once, they're actually not smashing any of the episodes together. They're actually running it as 4 one-hour episodes on linear, which is the first time Masterpiece has ever done that. Every other time, they've squashed episodes together, like, they're just trying to get it out of the way. That's all I got.
I have not watched 1 minute of Guilt since that very first podcast we did on it several years ago, and I will continue to maintain that trend. I'm sorry. I'm just really down on the PBS schedule this spring, except for Mr. Bates. I hope I'm wrong about some of these, but I am here to be honest with you, the people, the listeners. That's what you get.
That's fine. Maybe there's stuff that's like not on PBS that you like. Televisions is produced by WETA, a community-supported PBS station in Washington, D.C., which means so are we. Everything we do is made possible by listeners and readers like you. You're what makes television happen, from our podcast that brings you in-depth conversation about the best of British TV, to our website that reviews the shows across the pond and keeps you up to date with the latest news for Anglophiles. We bring you exclusive content, like breaking news about upcoming shows and movies, where your favorite actors will be appearing next, monthly PBS Passport listings, roundups of the best British series coming to streaming, and all the news that's fit to digitally print about your favorite shows. Help us keep making all this great content for your eyes and ears by making a gift at televisions.org/support today.
I mean, there's some stuff that I'm excited about. some of it is a little bit later in the spring. I think I've got a bunch of stuff in March and then some gaps until basically Bridgerton comes back in May. Let's start with Bridgerton because I am excited for Bridgerton to come back, even though actually it doesn't really matter that much to me that they're changing up the order of the books, because I am a very like avid Colin and Penelope shipper, and I am not mad about not having to watch Benedict do things for a whole season before I get to that. So fingers crossed. I don't like Netflix is doing that thing that they do where they have a popular show, so they drop it in two batches instead of just all at once. Like, is their, you know, ostensible business model. So it's coming in May and in June, 4 and 4, I think.
I mean, at least they're trying to sort of break it in like pieces, parts that feel sensible. I mean, one of the things I didn't like about the way they broke up The Crown is that they broke it in a place where it felt very, like it felt gratuitous, and I didn't like that.
I don't know. I've seen no evidence that Netflix thinks about these things when they break. Every other one of their shows that they've broken in pieces, from You to The Witcher, like has not made any sense where they broke it. So
okay.
I don't know. I have a feeling they were like, it's 8 episodes. Here's 4 and 4. Boom, done.
True.
I mean, we'll see. But I don't have a lot of faith.
Well, that's true.
How are you as a book person feeling about bumping up Pollen?
I do actually think that bumping up Pollen helps. Okay, first of all, what you have to realize is that the first three books were written, and then there's a 10-year gap, and the next three books happen, okay? And the books 4, 5, and 6 are all supposed to happen at the same time. Like, literally, there's an exit in book 4 that becomes an entrance in book 5. Like, they're
I remember you telling me about
they're
this.
They're literally that intertwined. So, that, it's so, by simply skipping Benedict and having, and going straight to Pollen, I think that's actually helpful in that it basically ends that problem by just blowing it all up. By, no, we're not going to do 4, 5, and 6 together as a group. We're just going to do 4. And we're not going to, like, jump. We're not going to time jump. We're just going to do it now. And we're not gonna fudge around with stuff. We're just gonna do it. And we're gonna have Benedict happen later. And honestly, I don't think having Benedict happen later is a bad thing, partly because Benedict's book is very weak.
I actually don't even really like Benedict that much as a character in the show.
Julia Quinn got better as a writer as she went along. And you can actually see her improve in books 4, 5, and 6. Benedict's book is actually probably one of her weakest. And I think that's also an issue that they're basically skirting by pushing it off, by giving themselves more time to sort of set up and give themselves more runway. This way they can sort of, because the thing about Benedict is actually like a Cinderella retelling. And by fixing it, by giving themselves more runway, they're sort of setting up time to fix it and give themselves more, like, setup time. And I think that would also help. I also think just not doing the kids in order helps, too. Because the other thing that Julia Quinn did is that Daphne, and then she did all the other ones in order. And by not doing them in order, it feels more natural, you know? Because that does feel a little unnatural. So I'm not hating it. I thought I would, but I don't think I am. I'm kind of here for it, honestly.
What else am I excited about? This is going to be an interesting year for me because a lot of my hyperfixations are going to be making shows about a truly terrible person, namely Prince Andrew his infamous BBC Newsnight interview where he like defends noted rapist and pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh,
and it's all very
scoop.
Awkward. But two of them are now coming. One of which I don't even think has started filming yet because the guy who's starring in it is currently in a play. But it will be the next installment of the Amazon's very blank scandal series. And it will star Ruth Wilson and Michael Sheen. And that is coming later.
That's not until next year.
Or the end of the year, possibly. Who knows? But The first one that's arriving has Rufus Sewell playing Prince Andrew, which is painful for me because can we just cast this man in a rom-com or like a Bronte movie or something? Like,
nope.
He's literally like playing a human piece of excrement, like Nazis. Give me more of the diplomat because I need him just being like charming and manipulative. But anyway, this Netflix series is called Scoop. I believe it arrives in April.
Mm-hmm, but we don't. I don't believe we actually have a date.
Nope, it's April 5th. It's April 5th.
Oh, it is April 5th? Okay, cool. I couldn't remember.
And it is like got the stacked cast. Like Rufus Sewell is Prince Andrew. Gillian Anderson is the BBC interviewer who does the interview. Like Billy Piper, Keely Hawes, Romola Garai, Charity Wakefield, like all these incredible women are in this. So I'm really hoping that it's like a very, you know, kind of female forward version of the story and about like how all these women like work together to like get this landmark interview and not like a defense of this craven person. But I don't know. I'm going to watch it because I love all these people, even though it's going to make me uncomfortable.
I actually, on Netflix, I'm looking forward to Ripley, which is Andrew Scott.
Ripley. Oh, sorry. I thought for a second you were talking about that PBS show about the guy who sings sad jazz songs.
No, that's Ridley. Ripley is the talented Mr. Ripley, but they've cut the talented Mr. part off of it, and they've cast Andrew Scott.
It's implied.
Yes. It's a Johnny. So it's a Andrew Scott as Ripley, Johnny Flynn as Dickie, and Elle Fanning, not the one who was in The Great, but the other one, her sister, as Margie. And basically it's a remake, but as a series, and it's shot in black and white, which I find to be kind of fascinating. Because you know,
Elle Fanning is the one in The Great.
Okay, no, then it's Dakota Fanning. Okay. Elle Fanning is the one in The Great, it's Dakota Fanning, it's the sister. Sorry. Dakota Fanning, who is in The Alienist. Sorry,
justice for The Great, guys. I mean, yeah. It ended really well, but I wanted more seasons.
I know. You know, the talented Mr. Ripley, the one that we all think of from 1997, was such a sun-dappled, you know, brightly colored. And this one is like, you know, film noir looking, like black and white period piece kind of. I don't know. It's really interesting, and I'm real curious about it. This was actually one of those shows that was commissioned by Showtime and Paramount Plus and got cut because Paramount Plus is basically collapsing and Netflix rescued it. So I'm actually quite excited about it because it's definitely a prestige auteur kind of show. And I'm glad it got rescued, and I really want to see it. One show that is coming to Paramount Plus that didn't get cut in the massive cuts that it's been doing recently, Gentlemen in Moscow with Ian McGregor.
Ewan McGregor. It's Showtime. I don't even know. I don't know what the difference is between it's Paramount Plus with Showtime. It's on that.
They're one thing now. Stop trying to pretend they're two. And
I'm just telling you what their press releases say.
I'm aware, and it's one thing. Stop trying to pretend they're two. That's the press releases, not to you. I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm glad that one managed to escape the large swath of cuts that happened recently. I'm really looking forward to that. The book's really great. And it's a really good story. And I'm really like, that's one of those shows that I'm like, that I've been looking forward to since it was first announced. Yeah, I know it's a bit of a vehicle for McGregor, but I don't care.
You know, I like him. It can't be any worse than Obi-Wan.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, honestly, actually, for me, it's a bit of a Obi-Wan palate cleanser. Speaking of vehicles, Time season 2.
Yeah, just a little FYI, guys. They're making another season of Time. Surprise.
Time season 1 was a Sean Bean vehicle in which he played a prisoner in a mail who basically hit a guy while he was drunk, and he goes to prison, and he basically has to struggle with how to be a good person and live a good life while being in prison. And it's basically him and Stephen Graham as a guard, and Siobhan Finneran is like the chaplain who he talks to, and it was it was a really great 3-episode series that really gave a good look of what it's like inside men's prison. It was meant to be a one-off, but it was huge when it hit in the UK. Like, it was huge. So Jimmy McGovern, the man who wrote it, said, okay, fine, I'll make a second season and I will make this an anthology series. And Time Season 2 will be set in a women's prison. Time Season 2 stars Jodie Whittaker, one of the first things she got cast in when Doctor Who ended. Bella Ramsey, the first thing she's been cast in since The Last of Us. And Tamara Lawrence, the first thing she's been cast in since The Long Song. And the three of them are basically a tour de force trio. The three of them arrive in jail at the same time, and they band together to basically survive and keep their noses clean and get through the experience so that they can get to the other side. And I am so excited for this show. Again, it's only 3 episodes. All 3 will drop at once at the end of March. I believe it's like March 27th. This one is one that I am so here for. The same way I'm really here for Murder is Easy, which it just came out beginning of March. Like, that's in the same way I'm really here for Agatha Christie, I'm really here for Time Season 2.
I want Jodie Whittaker to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I support her doing that in whatever form that takes. I think the show kind of looks like a downer, but I think
it's going to be
also kind of a downer.
Of course it is. And yes, it's going to be depressing as heck, but I don't care. What else are you here for?
I must take my mandated time to talk to you all about a little show called Extraordinary, which I think I have talked about in every weird roundup episode we've done. But the second season of the show premieres on Hulu on March the 6th. And I have seen all of it, and it is even better than the first season. It is just a wonderful, wonderful show about growing up and figuring out who you are and friendships and relationships, and all set in the background of a world where people have superpowers, all except Jen, who has not manifested one yet and is starting treatment at a powers clinic to try to figure out what her ability is. The powers are the least important part of the show, but they are hilarious. I want to tell you guys the funniest one they introduced this season, but I'm afraid that Mark will bleep it again. So I will not do that. Email me after you watch it. It's so good.
I just listen.
I'm like, this show is like my whole personality. I'm like, everyone watch Extraordinary. I talked to a bunch of the cast over the past couple of weeks, and they're just so lovely. And I just want this show to find the audience it deserves because it's so good.
Contributions of any size are welcome, and when you make a monthly donation of $5 or an annual gift of $60 to help support televisions, you'll get access to PBS Passport, where you'll be able to stream many of the shows we discuss during the television season and get early access to shows coming later in the year. Television's The Podcast helps you parse through the clutter of the streaming landscape to find the best British series and films heading our way, while our posts at Television's The Website make sure you know what's coming to PBS Passport and which titles are worth your time in the vast peak TV landscape. Donate now by going to television.org/support. All right, speed round for the other things we are looking forward to. How about Doctor Who season 14?
You know it. I'm so ready. I can't wait. Shooty's amazing. Like, give it to me.
Okay, how about Eurovision 2024? Oh, wait, that's just me.
Yeah, I don't care.
I know. How about Damsel? Not Enola Holmes. What is her real name? Millie Bobby Brown does another franchise.
Is it a franchise? I guess it could be.
Yes, it's a movie.
I don't know.
Could be
I keep
a
getting it mixed up. There is a really good YA book called Damsel that has a very similar plot. But it's by Elena Arnold, if you haven't read it. It's actually a really great book. But I don't think this is an adaptation of that. But the plot is like inches apart from each other. So I'm very confused about Damsel. But it looks like my lane.
There's also the completely made up Adventures of Dick Turpin, which I am so in love with.
Finally, one I've watched. I actually watched all of this and I did not know what to expect. It is weirdly charming.
Yeah, it's on Apple TV.
Apple TV did not come to play this spring. They've got a bunch of good stuff. But Dick Turpin is really like, it's very irreverent, but it's very like warm-hearted and sweet at the same time. Like, I ended up liking it so much more than I thought that I would because I thought it was going to be very stupid.
Yeah.
There are moments where it is extremely stupid, but I think its overall charm makes up for it.
The fact that Hugh Bonneville is in it and he's neither a cop nor a lord is kind of a fun thing. Because
I don't actually know what I thought he was sort of lord adjacent. I don't know.
He is kind of lord adjacent, but he's not quite either. He's not a cop and he's not a lord.
He's very funny in it.
He is very funny in it. Kate Winslet is funny as heck in The Regime, by the way.
I haven't watched it, but the reviews are making me a little nervous.
It is way funnier than I thought it was going to be. I was startled.
I think our friend Meg is like the only person that liked it. I don't know. I support Kate Winslet in great outfits. I don't know. The show is weird.
So how about Theo James in The Gentleman playing Edward Horniman?
I have questions about the character's name. And also, I don't know that I asked for a Guy Ritchie series. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not going to try it, but I also didn't want this.
I question whether or not Theo James is really the kind of person who should be playing a Jason Statham kind of character. I just have questions.
Is that what it is? I don't actually know a lot about The Gentleman other than it's Guy Ritchie, who I can take in feature film doses. I don't know if I can watch a whole show from him.
Yeah, basically this was The Gentleman was a 2019 movie that basically got screwed by the pandemic and ended up being a streaming thing only in the United States because it didn't make it here in time. But it's about basically the way that the British or aristocracy keep their houses is by allowing Matthew McConaughey to grow weed plants on their plantation on their property. And
this is sounding less and less like it's rated for Lacey.
And Theo James, basically his dad dies and he inherits the property and he discovers that his dad is one of those people. And that is basically the story. And so, yeah, that is sort of, I don't know. I don't know that Guy Ritchie's stick can hold up for an episodic.
I don't know. I don't really think it's meant to be extended. Do you know what I mean?
I am looking forward to We Were the Lucky Ones. I know it's not quite British, but it is period piece.
I don't know. And I also feel like literally with everything going on in the world, maybe watching a show about this subject matter is something we should all do.
Yeah. This is a World War II Jews escaping Germany story. As I said, it's not quite British, but it does have British actors in it, even though the leads are American, and the person who wrote and the book that it's based on is American. But I still feel like it's something that I feel like it's within our wheelhouse. Same with Manhunt. I know it's about Abraham Lincoln.
I am here to stand for Manhunt because yes. I have actually watched all of that. And that's another one that it's like, obviously it's a very American story because it's about the hunt for John Wilkes Booth after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. But it is just like bursting with British actors like Tobias Menzies is Edwin Stanton, who was Lincoln's Secretary of War. Anthony Boyle, who was just like in Masters of the Air, is Booth. Patton Oswalt is really weirdly miscast as the sort of Union spy leader.
That was weird. Anyway.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, Lincoln is played by Hamish Linklater, who was the priest in Midnight Mass, if you're a Mike Flanagan fan.
He is excellent.
He's excellent. The whole show is actually surprisingly like tense for something that you know the outcome to. And I think it's really because it's not so much about the specifics of the search for Booth, but like everything else that's happening around it. Like a lot of it surprisingly draws on like Stanton and Lincoln's friendship, which is really like bromance levels in this. It's told sort of via flashbacks and it's used as kind of the motivation for everything that he's doing. And Lily Taylor is a great Mary Todd Lincoln who doesn't actually have to like scream and be crazy. So that's nice. I really enjoyed it.
You should be looking forward to Mary and George, shouldn't you?
I am. I don't know how I feel about sort of the marketing campaign. I'm one, really glad the show moved to Stars because I think it's a better fit. Mm-hmm. Because it slots right into their whole like very kind of female forward period drama thing that they're doing with, you know, the Serpent Queen and all of the various like Spanish princesses, white princesses that have come before that. But I don't really know how I feel about the marketing plan, which is really like trailers with like this isn't the song, but this is the vibe, like Rebel Girl playing in the background. Like the marketing campaign is a little questionable to me, but I think the story is so interesting that it should make up for it. Plus Julianne Moore is in it, who's incredible. We're finally getting a show that is not about like Tudor or Regency England, or the Victorian era. It's literally set during the reign of King James I, which we should tell more Stuart stories anyway. But it's about Mary Villiers, who is she's the Countess of Buckingham, and she basically, her son George, the title Mary and George, get it, was so hot that she basically groomed him to seduce the king, because King James's sort of homosexuality was kind of an open secret at times, most of the time, probably all the time. But anyway, her son George becomes like the king's favorite, and the two of them become like the most powerful family in England, basically, because they are constantly elevated by the king and given all these all this power. And I think they literally I think the king actually recreated the dukedom of Buckinghamshire, because there hadn't been a Duke of Buckingham since I think Henry VIII's time. I don't know why I know that. It's just a fact that I know. But it's really like great cast. Tony Curran is playing King James. The guy from Red, White, and Royal Blue is playing George. I mean, Julianne Moore. Come on, guys. It's going to be like really good, I think.
All right. For those who love sports, Welcome to Wrexham is actually moving up season 3 to the spring so that it can actually follow the soccer season. So I'm sure that our boss, Nick, is very excited about that. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare will give us hot Henry Cavill in period clothing.
Is it going to not fit? Is it going to like not fit him the way it doesn't fit him quite in Enola Holmes?
I'm hoping so.
I want that, by the way.
Okay. Dead Boy Detective, the Sandman spinoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm excited for Dead Boy Detectives because I love the Sandman. I don't actually know how tightly tied in it's going to be to the Sandman show on Netflix, because it was originally supposed to be a Max program, because technically all these, the Sandman and ancillary things, fall under the umbrella of DC Comics. Mm-hmm. So it was going to be a DC show with like the Sandman references script off. But then Zaslav happened. Netflix took Dead Boy Detectives, put the Sandman stuff back in, and now it is officially part of Netflix's The Sandman universe, which I am extremely in favor of. So I support that. I mean, this is only like vaguely, like only in like the most tangentially ways, like connected to Morpheus and all of that stuff. These two kids who are ghosts who solve crimes come up in one of the stories in one of their earlier volumes of Sandman.
Let's see, there's a Back to Black, which is a movie, the Amy Winehouse movie, which for some reason has an amazing cast, including Leslie Manville. Okay, but Leslie Manville?
Like, I love Leslie Manville getting paid. Okay. Like, I support her getting paid always. But okay, Things that I didn't really ask for this year was an Amy Winehouse biopic.
Okay, fine. Young Woman and the Sea, which is Christopher Eccleston, that's the Disney Plus film that's going to actually hit theaters?
Yeah, I keep meaning to write a post about this, because apparently Disney has decided that it's going to get, like, a limited theatrical release, which, I mean, I support run Christopher Eccleston his checks always, but this does not feel like it's going to be a blockbuster to me. It's a story of the, and I also really keep having mixed feelings about it because I keep confusing it with Old Man in the Sea, which I loathe. But it's about the woman who swam the English Channel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's very interesting, but I don't know that I think that's blockbuster film fare, but good for her. Good for him.
Oh, speaking of Disney Plus, Renegade Nell. That's good. That's Sally Rainwright doing teenage
fantasy adventure.
Yeah.
It is unexpected, a swerve, if you will. The girl from Dairy Girls that's in it is charming and adorable, and I love Julie Richardson. Is it a spoiler to say that she has superpowers in this? I don't know if it is or not, but I just did it.
I don't know if it's definitely, it's the magical element is definitely a surprise. I was not expecting that, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it's different. And then finally, Firebrand will close out.
I'm excited about this finally getting like a release date, because y'all know I love Catherine Parr.
Yeah.
And it is a whole movie about Catherine Parr surviving her dirtbag husband, which we love to see.
And that is June 21st. All right. That is our spring preview. There's definitely stuff for you to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure the minute we stop recording, I'll have forgotten something that I wanted to talk about.
Nope. I mean, I did skip a couple of things. I definitely skipped the Elizabeth Moss, the veil thing, but I don't know enough about it. And it's kind of like, it's, again, one of those borderline things. Yeah. Like, there's a couple others, but mostly, yeah, that should be covered.
There's a lot of things coming for your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
A lot of things. All right.
Sorry, Annie just like literally pieced off her mic there for a second. I thought she was literally gonna walk out of the room, and I was like, all right, I guess we're done. But I guess we're done.
If you have
anything that we did not mention that you think deserves a shout out, please tell us. If you also want to let us know your thoughts on the Miss Scarlet news, please tell us, or at least me, because I need to commiserate. And we are at televisions@weta.org. I don't know. Since Annie looks done, I'm guess like tell the people where you are online.
I'm somewhere online. Actually, I'm not nearly as online as I used to be because God, I'm so tired. I'm elder care man. Elder care is no joke. But my mom is making a speedy recovery. I actually think she might really fully recover, you guys. Only 10% of stroke victims recover fully. And I think my mom might actually be one of them, which is kind of amazing. Know the signs of stroke and stuff. That's my message for like this week and maybe for like all of spring. Definitely through March while I'm like looking after her. All right. No, that's it. That's all I got. I'm tired.
All right, I'm Lacey MB on things, and you can just follow me on the things. Anywhere that I can pick my profile name, that's me. If you just want the site, we're currently on Facebook at Televisions Blog, all one word. Or you can just visit us directly at televisions.org, where we have news, updates, recaps, reviews, listicles, rantings and things. Probably by the time this episode drops, I may have written some feelings about the Miss Scarlet Sitch. I have a lot of emotions. Anyway, if you like what we do, you can click on the donate button up top to help us keep making all of this great content for your eyes and ears. And yeah, that's our show. We're doing it. We've done it. We've done two in a row now, so I'm feeling like we're really getting back to saddle. But take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. DC area people, watch out. The pollen is here already, and it is brutal. Get your COVID boosters. Take care of yourselves. Do something nice for a stranger. Send me your thoughts on Miss Scarlet, because I really need to like get this out somewhere. And we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.